But anyway, it altered my view of things. It humbled me quite a bit because it hindered my relationship with the girls. I was just starting to reach an age where guys start chasing girls and stuff. And it altered the reaction of girls to me a lot. It's like they were nice to me, but they didn't want to be associated with me. It made me search a lot for the meaning of things and how to improve my personality. I thought, well, maybe I need to improve my personality. So I started reading a lot of books like How to Win Friends and Influence People and things like this. Another book that was really good was How to Sell Yourself to Others by Elmer Wheeler. It wasn't nearly as popular, but I thought it was a better book of the two. I began to experiment with the different things in these books. Nothing really helped in my relationship with girls at all, no matter what I did. It wasn't until after my mission, when I went on my mission, I found about halfway through my mission, I become very sensitive to people's thoughts. And then when I come home, I become very sensitive to, I could tell whether or not, if I ask a girl on a date, I could tell what her answer would be before she gave it. So I just asked the ones that would say yes. And I found that when girls got to be over 20, that they were much more into what the person was rather than the physical aspects of the person. Because, you know, when I was in high school, the quarterback and the football stars and basketball stars, they got all the attention. But as time went on, I found that when females seem to reach the age of 20 and older, they look for the more important aspects of the person, what the person really is, rather than the physical aspects. So anyway, it humbled me quite a bit. And one story I like to tell after my accident was a lot of people from the church and authorities came to see me. And they always said the same thing to me. They said, well, kid, I bet when you get out of the hospital, you're not going to make any more rockets, are you? I bet you learned your lesson. And I thought, well, won't be making any more rockets in the hospital, all right, but after I get out, I'm going to, but I'll just be more careful. And that just really, the look on their face when I said that just amused me so much that I said it to everybody that come in there. And everybody said the same thing. Well, kid, I bet you learned your lesson. You're not going to make any more rockets. And I said, well, not until I get out of the hospital. And after I got out of the hospital, I made more rockets than ever. But I bought the rocket engines from a company called Estes Company, which is in October Sky. These guys just did the same thing. And then I made model rockets from them, and they were a lot safer. So I didn't have to put the rocket make dangerous rocket engines from scrap. What's funny, the reaction in the church I got was a lot of the older people in the church says, don't associate with that Dewey kid. You know, he's crazy making these rockets. But after church, I'd invite a whole bunch of my friends over to watch me send off a rocket. And everybody enjoyed watching them go off, and then they went and told their parents, and their parents were really nervous because, you know, I had this accident, and they thought maybe I was going to lead their kids into danger, too. And then my uncle was kind enough to buy me a telescope, and, you know, there's a couple big telescopes here that they got that we can look at the stars when it gets dark, which is really great. Yeah, it's a significant size, but I was the only kid in I knew of that had a telescope, and the neighbors were suspicious of me too. They thought I was, got the telescope to spy on them. They, you know, which is pretty useless to try to spy on somebody with an optical telescope to look at the stars. But I had a lot of people suspicious of me in the church when I was younger. Bishop called me in one time, and when I first started going to church, I was about 13. I went once or twice a year before then. First time I ever went to church, kind of funny. My mom brought me to sacrament meeting when I was probably about 6 years old, and I was really hungry when she brought me there. And they passed around the bread for the sacrament, and my mom took some, and she passed by me and gave it to somebody else, and I says, "Hey, I want some bread." And so the guy says, "Okay," so he hands it to me, and I grabbed all the bread on the plate and started eating it because I was hungry as a dickens. And so my mom never took me to sacrament meeting again. When I attended one time, I think it was Easter or some special occasion, I would sometimes go to church. We moved to a place that was only a block away from the Mormon church in Lethe, Idaho. So everybody thought we had no excuse to not go to church. And so one special occasion, I think it was Easter or something, I went and the bishop called me aside. And he says, "You know, you just live a couple blocks away from the church. How come you aren't coming regularly?" And I says, "Well, it's boring." He says, "Boring?" He says, "What's boring?" He says, our meetings are just wonderful." I says, he says, "What's boring about it?" I says, "Well, the speakers." I says, they just send me to sleep just about. Speakers? We got just wonderful speakers. Why do you think they're boring?" I said, "I'm sorry, I just don't find them interesting." He says, "What else do you consider boring?" I says, "The music." "Music? We got beautiful hymns." I says, "They put me to sleep." I says, "Well, what music do you like?" I said, "Well, rock and roll." He says, "Well," I think he about gave up on me then. But shortly after there, it did start me to thinking. I thought, well, you know, what they say is that if you're a good guy for just one life, you go to heaven for eternity, for one of the kingdoms or whatever. You go to a really good place for all eternity. Now, I thought, eternity is a really long time. I mean, it's like billions of trillions of years. So that's like saying, behave yourself for 1 hour and you can have a whole life of everything that you want, pleasure, all the money, everything you want. If you just behave yourself for 1 hour, would I do that for 1 hour? And I thought, yeah, you know, I probably would. So I thought, this lifetime in relation to eternity is like a couple seconds, really. So if what they're saying is right, you know, it would probably be to my advantage to put up with the boredom, even though I find church really boring. So I thought, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go for 6 weeks and see if I can handle the boredom. And if I can handle the boredom for 6 weeks, then I'll keep going because it'll be worth it. But if I can't, then I'm going to be like my dad and just live a life of eat, drink, and be merry and have fun. Because that's the way my dad was. And so I thought, I'll give it 6 weeks. So I give it 6 weeks, and you know, before that time, when I attended church, the teachers always complimented me, and also Larry, the kid that had an accident with me when he went once in a while, that we really were good attendees, whereas everybody that was attended regularly really misbehaved themselves. They shot spit wads at each other and threw races at each other in Sunday school class and And me and O'Leary were just bored stiff, so we were just silent, you know. And we got the praise for, they wished that we would come more often because we were behaved ourselves so much. But they didn't realize that. So I thought, well, you know, maybe I need to join these guys because these guys have kind of made life a little bit interesting. They irritate the teachers and so on. So when I came, I started this contest as to who could bring the most outrageous thing to eat during Sunday school or sacrament meeting or whatever, and the most outrageous thing to drink. So I won the contest with the eat because I brought pork chops and ate them without being discovered. But my friend John, he won the contest on the drink. He brought an oversized bottle of Coke and drank the whole thing in sacrament meeting without being caught. And one time my friend Brent, he was trying to win the contest, and he had a big bottle of Coke in his jacket, and he was asked to come up and give the closing prayer. And as he walked up to give the closing prayer, we could see his jacket swinging back and forth. And all of us guys were praying that it would fall. You know, we were thinking, oh boy, this would be so great if it just, if that bottle of Coke fell and rolled out, but it never did. So, you know, the funny part about us guys when we were teenagers, we never hoped for the best in each other. Which reminds me of a funny story with old Brent. One time, we had some type of, it wasn't a regular church meeting, but it was a meeting, and we had, they asked Brent to give the opening prayer. And he got up to give the prayer, and he just glanced up at me, and I just made a funny face and goes like this. And all of a sudden, he started to, you know, he thought it was funny. And he goes, "Our Father in heaven." He was just really wanted to let out a big laugh, but he was afraid to. He goes, "Amen." And he sits down. And the guy officiating puts his arms around Brent and he says, "That was a really good prayer, Brent. Don't be ashamed." And so us guys, we like to kind of irritate each other. But anyway, I kind of got into it a little bit, so it wasn't so boring. We did a bunch of stuff.